Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. There's one piece of advice that comes through consistently from the world's best investors. Read as much as you can, and also be sure to read widely and to read things that might give you useful examples elsewhere in the world of what could be happening in your market of focus. But above all, read. And US company earnings transcripts are fantastic things for this. Not only do you get the prepared remarks from management, but you also get the Q&A with the analysts on the call. I really do wish we had more of this in South Africa in terms of these high-quality engagements that are public, with transcripts that are easily available. And I really do hope that the noise in the US goes away around quarterly reporting, because I love these quarterly earnings calls. Darden Restaurants recently held their quarterly earnings call, and unless you follow the US market quite closely, this probably isn't a name that you'll know. But you certainly know the name Spur, and in many ways, Darden is a similar business. Like Spur, they've built their business around a core casual dining brand. Casual dining means sitting down for an in-restaurant experience, as opposed to fast casual, where you're either getting takeaways or eating quickly at one of the tables, like a typical McDonald's or a Steers or a KFC. The core brand at Darden Restaurants is called Olive Garden, and instead of wings and burgers, they focus on Italian dishes. Also like Spur, Darden has then branched out from the core business into other brands. They have a steakhouse brand at a similar price point as Olive Garden, and they have what they call a fine dining steakhouse brand. Now, fine dining in this case does not mean Michelin star restaurants. You have to remember that the American definition of acceptable, healthy food is very different to ours in South Africa, so you can pretty much scale the various descriptions from there. Fine dining at Darden is equivalent to something like Hussar Grill in South Africa, which, guess what, is part of Spur. Delicious, but definitely not the stuff you're going to see on MasterChef. And just like Spur and the other players in this sector, Darden has to contend with changing consumer preferences around not just flavors and price points, but also ordering and fulfillment channels. Is it worth learning something from Darden restaurants? Yes. Yes, it is. So let's dig in. For starters, casual dining is winning. In the US at least, fast casual is struggling at the moment. The fast food players are in a competitive bloodbath of note, trying hard to sell the now stale offering of unhealthy food at supposedly affordable prices. One of the problems for the fast food players is that grocery stores have been going after this convenience food market in a big way, giving consumers a route to eating healthier meals at reasonable prices. Another problem for them is that people have become more conscious overall of what they are eating. And we definitely should not ignore the impact of the likes of Ozempic as an appetite suppressant, making that naughty trip for a greasy burger and fries far less appealing than before. Conversely, casual dining is doing well. The food is healthier and fresher. But more than that, it's a completely different buying decision that leads to consumers going for a sit-down meal versus the drive-thru. Consumers are looking for out-of-home experiences, not least of all in a world where homes are becoming smaller and smaller and smaller over time, and affordability for entertaining space is a challenge. This may sound like an anecdotal thing to you, but the reality is that consumer-focused businesses are going to outperform or underperform based on the behavior of people in their daily lives. So applying some common sense to what you see out there is really not a bad thing for an investor in this space. And the numbers don't lie. Even the analysts on the Darden call are scratching their heads about the ongoing strength of casual dining versus fast casual. It looks like consumer preferences really are shifting, and that's important for investors to keep in mind. Now for the main course, which is that the scale player can ride out the cost pressures. Beef prices are a huge headache for Darden and its competitors at the moment, although it could just as easily be any other food type next. These are agricultural inputs with complex supply and demand characteristics, something that Darden has to manage carefully along the way. Beef inflation is currently at a level that is not sustainable in Darden's opinion. If they raise prices to offset inflation, then they reckon that demand will drop. This is the old story that the cure for high prices is high prices. In other words, a drop in demand which then leads to lower prices in an effort to rekindle that demand. But here's the great quote from management and the lesson for us as investors in why scale players tend to win over time. On the call they said, We don't want to price for temporary costs. We want to find other ways to solve for these incremental costs. In other words, they are saying that they would rather drive efficiencies and try ride it out than put prices up and potentially hurt demand. Now, the same is not true for small competitors or less efficient players. Darden talks about being brilliant with the basics, and as much as that sounds like corporate gumph and a lovely bit of alliteration, it also talks to why I prefer investing in market leaders in many cases versus smaller pretenders to the throne. They are typically able to ride out the tough times and use their investment in things like technology and other efficiencies to get them through. Interestingly enough, Darden has only hedged around 25% of their beef exposure in the near future. They don't want to lock in high prices at the current levels, believing that they are unsustainably high and that they will come down over time. Well, time is what will tell us the answer to that. And of course, being able to ride out the pressures isn't the same as being immune to them. Darden has flagged margin pressures in the coming quarters at the same time as a tough base for year-on-year revenue growth comparisons. The market hated that, with the stock dropping over 7%. Again, just because you own a scale player that can get through tough things doesn't mean that the share price won't reflect those tough things. Now for dessert, and the thing that I found most interesting, which is Uber as a fulfillment model, not a marketplace. Darden is pushing hard in digital channels, with the motivation being that delivery helps them reach younger, more affluent customers who value convenience above everything else. They see this as an incremental revenue opportunity, as those customers wouldn't be your typical eat-in customers. So how are they doing it? Well, instead of the traditional listing on the Uber Eats marketplace as a third-party model, they are doing it as a first-party model. In practice, this means using Uber Direct purely as a delivery fulfillment engine, with customers ordering on the Darden websites and the app instead of on Uber Eats. The big difference is, of course, the data. Darden then owns all of the data and makes the rules, giving them complete control over the brand experience. Uber Direct is basically just a white label logistics provider. Undoubtedly, Uber would prefer Darden to be on Uber Eats, but this is a clever plan B for a scale player like Darden that has the muscle to call the shots and build the marketing and order infrastructure, relying on Uber only for delivery. Again, the scale benefit for Darden coming through here. And here's a great insight from the call about how some of these marketing campaigns in the digital space can play out in practice. Darden had a campaign where they offered 1 million free deliveries to customers. Now, this cost them a lot of money, obviously, because Uber certainly wasn't going to deliver for free. The thesis here is that if you let consumers try the service, then they might come back even when the delivery is no longer free. Management has said that delivery order volume is currently 40% higher than the pre-campaign average. In other words, they believe that they've achieved some stickiness of users. Yes, there's noise in that, like seasonality and all sorts of things, but it's an indication of what I fully believe to be true. Digital is absolutely critical for businesses. This brings me neatly to which stock I own here, and it's not Darden. No, you see, I own Uber, because I want to own the market leader in platforms that help people and things get from A to B. In the past year, Uber is up 26% and Darden is up 12% after the market hated those latest numbers thanks to the expected cost pressures. From what I've read here in Darden, I'm certainly not unhappy about my stake in Uber, a company that seems to be willing to adapt what it does for the needs of its biggest customers while making a lot of money from smaller customers as well. And perhaps the most important point here is that by digging into Darden restaurants, we've learned some really interesting things that are applicable to the likes of Spur locally, as well as an adjacent business like Uber internationally. I'll say it again, we all need to read as widely as possible to achieve success in the markets. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.